Offensive only to lazy men, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast only a mother could love. He stood on a corner in Wilcox, Arizona by mistake, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It's the podcast that explains Medicare to lazy people all over the nation. And I am very, very pleased to have you joining us today. It is a kind of a cloudy day in Illinois, but if you listen real carefully, you're going to be able to hear the landscapers. They're different than the Arizona landscapers. Don't ask me how, but they come on a different day of the week. And since I'm on the second floor, they're not as close, but you may hear the hum of some power tools in the background. Please try to ignore that if you can. So it was Drew McMillan that you heard earlier introducing this episode, as he does every episode. I'm so happy to have him as part of this process. He is a Canadian television entertainer in search of a gig. At least nobody's told me that he has another gig lined up, but his Powerboat TV show has apparently come to a production end after this current 21st season, or 20th, I forget which. And so we also have, I like to define the lazy man. The lazy man is any man or woman who would rather not have to do a lot of work to learn about Medicare. They'd like to figure Medicare out without having expended a whole bunch of energy and brain power. And for that reason, they often approach the Medicare for the Lazy Man empire. And that empire includes what you're listening to, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It includes the website, the MedicareForTheLazyMan.com website, which allows you to click on a button and send me a note asking for quotes of insurance coverage that you might want to buy as part of your Medicare protection. And then we also have the prime shining glory, the crowning achievement of the Medicare for the Lazy Man Empire, and that would be the book. And you can get that in Medicare for the Lazy Man paperback that has a red 2021 on the cover. You can get it in Kindle version at Amazon, which is much less expensive. You can get it as an audio book so that you can listen to these dulcet tones as they lull, too many L's in that word, as they lull you to sleep. And I don't know what the cost is on that, but you have your choice of those three things. Or if you'd like to see your illustrations in color to brighten up the content of the book, you can go over to barnesandnoble.com, get the same book for $9. The paperback has colored illustrations in it. So those are the things that we use as tools to help the lazy people understand what they have to do about Medicare. The final tool in the tool bag is me. When people want to have some personal or individual consultation, I am always there for them. And my goal in life is to be the agent on behalf of all the people who want to get Medicare supplements to supplement the Medicare coverage the government provides for them. And I'm here to help them do just that. So in addition to other tools in the tool bag, we also have a tool named Randy Carson, and he is the button pusher and the knob twister for this podcast. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Doug. How's everything out there in Illinois land?
Well, as you can see behind me out the window, it's kind of gray and gloomy, and we had some rain last night. This has been a real rainy summer. It used to be that people would whine about the rain, and I'd say, what are you, a farmer? What do you care whether it rains or not? But as it turns out, all that whining, somehow somebody was listening, and we've had rain pretty much every day or every other day for the last month.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I got to tell you this short story. Last night, I had a dream, and the dream was all about our audiobook.
Really?
And yeah, it was all about our audiobook. I dreamt that they were playing your audiobook on American Bandstand years ago. And
could you dance to it?
Yeah, and the teenagers that rate, you remember how they used to rate stuff on American Bandstand?
I was glued to the screen. Absolutely, yeah. I remember.
Yeah. So the rating for your audiobook was, it's got a nice beat and it's easy to dance for. 86. Wasn't that how they always were?
You know, it seems like they were rating them 1 to 10 in the early years, like the afternoon, after school version of the show. But then the Saturday morning show, I think, had a whole different thing where they ranged from 1 to 100 instead of 1 to 10.
Yeah. Yes. And also, I'm not going to let you get by without playing a little bit of Stump the Insurance Expert.
Oh, boy. You know, every time we do this, I wind up looking sort of helpless. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that you've got questions I know the answers to this time.
Okay, here we go. Now, chances are very good you're going to do real well on one of these questions and
I like that.
A little less well on the other. But here we go.
Okay.
Okay, who or which is the only American football team to go a whole season undefeated, including the Super Bowl?
Well, of course, as a sports expert, I'm quite certain I know exactly which team this was. I have no idea. What the hell are you asking me questions like
that? Well, you know, our writer, you know, Dominic, our writer.
Yes, I do. And I'm going to have a word with him after.
He said he was unsure that you would be interested in this question because being from Chicago, you might be a Chicago Bears fan.
Okay, but that lets out the Bears then.
Having said that, it was the Miami Dolphins in 1972.
See, I would have gone for the Steelers because I like to hang around Harold's, which is a Steelers bar. I don't think I would have gone for the Packers because the Chip is a Packer bar. And it doesn't strike me that they're particularly proud of anything the Packers do. and then, of course, we have the Cowboys, which is people are always hoorah and making a lot of noise about the Cowboys. So I might have quoted the Cowboys. Now, I will tell you, I'm not a sports fan. I'm a gearhead, as you know.
Yeah, well, here you go then. This is a question right down your alley.
All right.
Now, you're not old enough to have experienced this personally, but I've got faith in your knowledge of the history.
Okay.
What is the oldest car company in the world still in business today?
I'm going to say Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, and there you go.
And for bonus points, what year were they founded?
Ooh, I'm going to say 1888.
Three, pretty close. I'm going to give you that one.
Oh, good. I like it. I like it when I get a freebie. What was the actual year?
1883.
Oh, 1883. Okay. When you said three, I thought you meant I was like 3 years away from it. But
no.
Okay. Well, you know something, the reason that's fresh in my mind is recently a video has gone around and I get passed a lot of videos from my friends and I pass them on to other friends. And this was purported to be a video of Mr. Benz's wife driving his invention, a horseless carriage, through Germany in the 1880s. And she ran out of fuel. That, you know, the whole thing seems pretty hokey to me because I'm thinking, you don't just let your wife take off in your brand new one-of-a-kind automobile that you just invented without having plenty of fuel to get around. In fact, I would be going with her. But so anyway, she has to fill the fuel tank from the lanterns of some stupid German village that she runs out of fuel in order to get back home. And then they all wave at her as she drives away. So it seemed pretty
hokey.
Well,
there you go. And but was her... Was her name Mrs. Benz?
Yeah, that's what they called her. Right? But anyways, getting back to sports for a minute, I would have maybe guessed the Cowboys as one of my many guesses because, although I'm not a sports fan, I'm a big fan of investing, profitable investing. And 100 years ago, back in the 1980s, I wound up getting invested in a popcorn operation, and I invested a whole bunch of money. And then along came a guy from California who said, hey, I am an investor. I'm going to buy up the popcorn operation. I'm going to buy some cookie factories in Rockford, Illinois, some snack foods. He's starting a snack food company. And he was doing very, very well. And my money was paying big dividends. And so he asked me and the other investors in the Chicago area if we would like to go to a football game in Kansas City on this guy's private jet. Now, what's wrong with this picture, you might ask? Well, so far, nothing.
Let me count the ways.
It was only years later that I realized that the private jet, I actually paid for the private jet. And that's where the interest that should have been paid on my money eventually went to. But we flew from Rockford, Illinois to Kansas City in December to watch the Chiefy Weepies, my Chiefy Weepies, play the Cowboys. And it was really interesting to be at a football game in the Chiefs stadium because everybody wore red except for those of us that were on that airplane. We were all dressed in denim, Levi's and so forth. And
yeah.
Bundled up because it was a warm day in Kansas City, but we didn't know it was going to be warm because it was colder than hell in Illinois. And so we were all lined up, you know, basically stuck out like sore thumbs, and people kept coming by going, who are you and why are you here? Stadium.
Why are you taking up good, solid spaces that real fans could have?
Absolutely. It was like 60,000 people in the stadium, and we were the only ones not dressed in red. And it was, you know, people came by and kept asking what we were doing there. And also, this cute little teenage girl sang the national anthem, and she got to the last line of the national anthem. The whole stadium thundered out the word Chiefs instead of Brave, the land of the free and the home of the brave. When she was saying the word Brave in her song, the whole stadium thundered out the word Chiefs, stepped on the end of her song. And I turned to a local and I said, boy, that's really rude. That poor little girl probably had her feelings hurt. And this local told me, you're an idiot. They do that every time. Doesn't matter who's singing the national anthem. They're going to jump on that last word and yell Chiefs. So they have some other traditions there that people are not going to be as interested in as they will be in Medicare, which is why they're here. So
probably, I'm going to have to pull out my ball bat.
Well, I think I'm a little bit ahead of you, but thank Dominic for coming up with some questions that at least I could answer one of them. I appreciate that.
Just to remind the audience, we did bring in Dominic as our head writer on Stump the Insurance Expert. So I want to thank Dominic for his continuing submissions. They are awesome.
Well, they're only awesome because he's managed to stump me on a regular basis. And I'm not sure I like being stumped, but if that's what it takes to entertain the audience, then we'll just continue to go with that. Okay, now the choice, which I was going to offer you, but we have another one coming up right after this, was reading an interesting article or reading some mailbag items. And I decided to read an interesting article. I've got a stack of articles here about Medicare Advantage plans being in trouble. Now, I'm going to start with the oldest ones because they're not exactly timely. And I don't say that any Medicare Advantage plans fall into this category now, but it's interesting to see what observers have been watching for on Medicare Advantage plans in the past. And this is, 5 years ago, so it's not current. And there's no reason for anybody to panic, but it fits into that big picture of why I caution people to stay away from Medicare Advantage plans. And in this case, the article is Feds Failed to Rein in Medicare Advantage Overbilling. This article is dated May of 2016, so it's 5 years ago. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that's the government agency that cannot spell correctly its own acronym. It's CMMS, it should be, if they were spelling it correctly, but they just spell it CMS. So anytime somebody says CMS, you should silently put another M in there because it's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It says they've spent about $117 million on Medicare Advantage audits that have recouped only $14 million. They spent $117 million to recoup $14 million related to overcharging. Now, this is the part where I caution Randy not to laugh because he's going to hyperventilate and fall off his chair. So please try to keep a lid. My God.
Okay. All right. Here. Hold on. I'll mute myself again. I just had to get that one out. That was stuck in my throat.
I'm glad you shared it with us. So here again, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the government agency too dumb to know how to spell its own acronym properly. They're saying that private Medicare Advantage plans treating the elderly, and that's anybody 65 or over. I don't think I feel that elderly, and I'm older than 65. Anyway, they have overbilled the government by billions of dollars, but rarely have been forced to repay the money or face other consequences for their actions, according to a congressional audit released Monday. Now, remember, this is May of 2016, so it is not current, but it's indicative of the sort of thing that could be going on and that we don't want to go on. So I caution people, stay away from Medicare Advantage plans. Back in May of 2016, it says in a sharply critical report, the Government Accountability Office called for fundamental improvements to curb overbilling by the health plans, which are paid more than $160 billion annually. The privately run health plans, an alternative to traditional fee-for-service Medicare, have proven popular with seniors, I hate that word, and have enrolled more than 17 million people, once again, 5 years ago. The plans, which were the subject of a Center for Public Integrity investigation, also enjoy strong support in Congress. GAO took aim at Medicare's primary tactic for recouping overcharges, a secretive and lengthy audit process called Risk Adjustment Data Valuations, or RADV. Unlike many other anti-fraud programs, RADV has cost the government way more than it has returned to the Treasury. Oh, Randy's going to break out into laughter again. The GAO says that Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, an arm of the Department of Health and Human Services, has spent $117 million and recouped only $14 million. CMS officials counter that the mere threat of those audits has caused health plans to voluntarily return approximately $650 million in overpayments, and that upcoming audits will recover tens of millions more. The article continues after sponsor message. I don't see a sponsored message here. The GAO launched its audit in October of 2014 in the wake of the Center for Public Integrity's Medicare Advantage Money Grab series. The articles documented nearly $70 billion in improper payments to health plans, mostly inflated fees from overstating patients' health risks from 2008 through 2013 alone. The center's investigation traced the overpayments to abuse of a billing formula called a risk score, which pays higher rates for sicker patients. I have to stop here and tell you that some of the insurance companies that I represent that also sell Medicare Advantage plans are always asking me to go to my clients and ask them to fill out little questionnaires and expose their health history. Now, nobody has to do that. So it's always a voluntary thing, and they offer some extra cash and rewards and, you know, vitamin pills and stuff like that to try to get people to do this. And why might that happen? Why might that be advantageous to this insurance company? Well, since the money they get for each of their enrollees comes from the federal government, and since the government has said, we're going to pay you more money for each person you have enrolled that happens to have certain medical conditions, then to get them to expose their medical history is advantageous to the insurance company if those people have problems like diabetes, overweight, cancer, things like that. So whatever the government has volunteered to pay extra for, the insurance companies go through their clientele searching for people that have those conditions. And then they report to the government, hey, we've got a whole bunch of people that have, let's say, diabetes. And the government says, all right, well, let us write you a big fat check. Well, I think what this article is saying is that many of those companies have used confusing, if not outright fraudulent practices to collect more money from the government than they are owed. And of course, they are now being asked to return that money, and some of them are not doing it voluntarily, I guess. So we have, in addition, CMS records released to the Centers for Public Integrity through a court order in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit show that overbilling has wasted tax dollars almost since risk scores were introduced in 2004. So the government, since 2004, has been offering insurance companies that sell Medicare Advantage plans extra money for enrolling sick people since 2004. So that's about 17 years they've been doing this. And it doesn't seem like a good use of the money from what I can tell. One confidential review of 2005 payments determined nearly a third of the patients enrolled in 22 health plans were not as sick as was claimed by the insurance companies who were collecting the money. The audit projected overpayments of $4.2 billion as a result. Other CMS documents revealed that officials dubbed these health plans high flyers, but did little to reel them in. While some of the audits dragged on for years without reaching conclusions, Medicare officials have quietly conducted these audits since 2008. But they have never imposed stiff financial penalties, even as evidence built up that billing errors were deeply rooted and wasting tax dollars at an alarming clip. The GAO in its report noted that CMS, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, has failed to target health plans with known improper payment risk, thus allowing the worst performers to escape the net. The GAO criticized the agency for allowing audits and appeals to drag on for years. Some audits of 2007 payments to health plans are still under appeal. Now, this again, 5 years ago. In response to the GAO report, America's Health Insurance Plans, AHIP, the industry's trade organization, said that an unconfirmed diagnosis in an audit does not necessarily mean that the person doesn't have a disease. And in recent public comments, the trade group has criticized the audit process as not yet complete or fully tested to assure that it is stable and reliable. An attorney, who shall remain nameless, with the Center for Medicare Advocacy, boy, these people love their acronyms, their names, their bureaucratic sounding names. This guy said his group was troubled by the extent of the improper payments to Medicare Advantage plans and the government's lack of progress on recouping and deterring such payments. In an emailed statement, he said, "We hope the policymakers who protect Medicare Advantage profits at all costs, we hope that policymakers who protect Medicare Advantage profit at all costs, while at the same time often proposing to shift more costs onto the majority of beneficiaries in traditional Medicare, take heed of this report to ensure that the recommendations are implemented." GAO reviewers say that CMS is stepping up the audits, but notes that much more needs to be done. GAO, the Government Accounting Office, noted that the officials expect the upcoming audits to recover $370 million, but that's just 3% of the total estimated annual overpayment. CMS officials have said that they have begun auditing Medicare Advantage payments from 2011 and 2012 and have set a goal to have all Medicare Advantage contracts audited yearly. HHS, Health and Human Services, is strongly committed to program integrity in the Medicare Advantage program and takes seriously our responsibility to protect taxpayer dollars by identifying and correcting improper payments. While federal auditors have struggled for years to root out these overcharges, at least half a dozen whistleblowers have filed lawsuits accusing Medicare Advantage plans of ripping off the government. In the most recent Medicare Advantage whistleblower case to surface in South Florida, a doctor there alleges that insurance giant Oh boy, I hate to say this. It's an old article. I'm not going to say the name of this insurance company. They said that one insurance giant knew of billing fraud at some South Florida clinics, but did little to stop it. This guy argues that inflating risk scores not only waste taxpayer dollars, but also can harm patients. The suit, which was unsealed in late February, which is 2017, I think it was, the suit is pending and the insurance company has declined to comment. So this piece comes from the Center for Public Integrity, a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative news organization. And you can follow their activities, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so basically what we had 5 years ago was rampant reports of overbilling by Medicare Advantage plans who said that their clientele were sick, very sick. And the government, which foolishly has said, well, if your people are sick, we're just going to pay you extra money for those sick people once you identify those sick people and tell us how many you have. So one more example of the kinds of things that can go wrong with Medicare Advantage plans and why I advise people to stay away from them. Randy has a 10-foot pole, and that's how he measures how close he's going to get to stuff. It's always going to be at least 10 feet away from a Medicare Advantage plan, as far as I can see his operations.
I've got to tell you, Doug, that I was shocked that this anyone spent the time to uncover government malfeasance. I mean, this is a shocking, shocking thing.
Don't they have some toilet seats to check on, or, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what I, you know, when I hear about situations like that, there's people in the world that, you know, rightfully so, need support. And then there's other people that are just living off the fat of the government. And I don't know how we're ever going to stop it, but it's disgusting.
I agree with you in principle, but I'm not sure I agree with the fact that you seem a little sarcastic, like, you know, it's the way of life in America. The government's going to waste our money no matter what we do about it. I did know a little story that kind of tells the other side of the coin. These things don't happen often enough, but you're familiar with Offutt Air Force Base.
I am.
And that's where the stealth bombers have been based, right? Are those the B-1s, B-2s? What are those?
The stealth bombers are the B-1s and B-2s, yeah.
Okay, no, they're not. They're one or the other. They're B-1s, I think.
I think they're B-1s, actually.
Okay, so anyway, when those things were first put into service, the crews, knowing that they had a long trip from the center of North America to whatever spot in the world they were going to dump their ordnance, and then a long trip back, and all they were going to do is refuel in the air. They were rarely going to land anywhere. They needed comfortable places for the off-duty crew members to relax and probably get some sleep. And so what they did was they went to a Walmart and bought patio furniture. One crew did. And the other crews tried it out, and they said, hey, this is pretty comfortable stuff. And so the government issued a contract to Walmart to buy patio chaises that fit in whatever slot in the human part of a B-1 stealth bomber where the crew lived. And the crew was able to use those things effectively without issuing contracts to have them designed and built and tested.
My gosh. So that does remind me of a story. I won't tell you the whole story, but maybe some other time I'll tell you. But no doubt you've heard about the $7,000 coffee pot that was installed in a B-52 or one of the big aircraft, you know,
sure.
run and flown by the Air Force.
Right.
There was a $7,000 coffee pot that was pretty much just a, what do they call the coffee catching part? The carafe?
I don't like sports and I don't drink coffee. How deeply under my skin do you want to look today, Randy?
So anyway, let's pretend that this was called Max Coffee. You know, you could buy it at Kmart, this whole smadge for like $29.95. And the only change they made was to make a stainless steel jar with the handle to catch the coffee, and all of a sudden it went for $29.95 to $7,000.
You know, I heard an explanation one time that a government accountant made, and it almost made me a believer, because he listed the steps. I think the government might be its own worst enemy. When it issues a whole bunch of rules that you have to follow, then you got some bean counters that have to say, all right, well, we followed this rule, we followed that rule, and then people have to look over their shoulder. Pretty soon, you got a whole lot of people that work on one project, and they all earn money every day, so that project becomes a lot more expensive than it should have been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, you know, guess what?
I'm guessing you're going to say that we've got plenty of time left and we should be doing other Medicare-related things. Is that right?
Well, no.
Oh.
You're going to be sadly disappointed because our fuel is out.
All right.
We are coasting in for a landing on a wing and a prayer, as they used to say. And we probably better thank some people before we hit the runway.
Well, as always, I want to thank you for being the electronic genius behind making this thing sound as good as it does. And I want to thank Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, for being the announcer that opens every episode. And I want to thank all the people that buy the Medicare for the Lazy Man book. This is the one with the red 2021 on the cover. That's the most current edition. So thank you. And thank you to all the people who contact me and say, help me buy my Medicare supplement, because you're my favorite of all these people. How was that?
That was great, Doug. So as we make our final approach, coming in on final, we're coming into runway 33 right.
Okay.
And as we make our final approach, I want to thank everybody too, because we thoroughly enjoy having you with us. You could have been 17 other places and you weren't. So put your stuff in the upright, you know, up in the upper bin, and it could have shifted while we were taking that turn, but it didn't probably. And obviously you want to put your tray table up in its upright and locked position.
And keep that mask on. Keep that mask on.
That's right. That's right. And we thank you so much for listening to us for the last 32 and a half minutes, especially because we got to hear Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And let's see, what has Doug taken on new lately? Oh, I know. He is the head driver for the new Medicare for the Lazy Man racing team.
I want to see the list you're reading from after this is over, because you keep adding stuff. Anyway, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you next time.